possible to get would-be federal contractors to bid against each other to drive prices down. Crazy, I know, but that's the idea behind reverse auctions. All you need is the right platform. The General Services Administration operates the government-managed reverse auction platform. For how it can help your agency save money, we'll turn to Ervilt Kohler, a Federal Acquisition Service Regional 4 Commissioner at GSA. He's standing by live with Tom at the National Contract Management Association World Congress at National Harbor. Tom, over to you.
Okay, thank you, Emily. Irv, great to have you on the show this morning.
Great to be here.
All right, I've been following this for a couple of decades now, ever since they had reverse auctions, and I still can't understand why a contractor would want to get involved in a reverse auction. Can you tell me why?
Sure, Tom. The competition is essentially a bidding war, and reverse auction is broken down into one thing. It collects quotes electronically. And there's some strange misperceptions, but many of the vendors actually like it because they get to see how they stack up real-time, live, and in the competitive marketplace. So they really enjoy the transparency associated with it.
Well, can they see what the other people are bidding?
They can't see who is bidding, but they can see what is being bid.
So if they see something is $5, they can say $4.90, and the next person could say $4.80. How do they know when to stop?
That's a competitive decision made by their firm, and they can put in proxy bidding that would allow them to bid on multiple auctions and sort of set it on autopilot, much the way that you would with eBay.
So they can put a stop loss or a bottom level, and then it stops for them at that point.
Absolutely.
All right, so give us an idea of the level of reverse auction activity in the federal government. Is it growing? How many auctions take place a year? Give us a sense of the scope.
Overall, it's hard to get a firm handle on what happens in the overall marketplace. But we're having radical growth recently with the GSA reverse auction platform. We're up to about $50 million in auction creation so far this year, which is great for our first year anniversary. And it's growing incredibly rapidly. Great people like Hassan Harris out here training for us today, spreading the word, and the uptake rate is just been awesome. And almost 90% of it goes to small business, so that's a good news story.
So this is a platform that is owned and operated by GSA as opposed to the commercial reverse auction platforms?
Yeah, exactly. We put it in place because we had an auction platform, GSA auctions, where we sold things. And I called a friend over in the IT department and said, hey, could you turn that bidding upside down and connect it with eBay or eBuy? He said, yeah, we can do that. So they went ahead and did it. And for a very low price, we had our reverse auction tool.
All right. So how does it work? I mean, suppose I'm a contracting officer and I have a requirement from a program for something. What happens?
So today it's predominantly schedules-based. So you would log into
GSA Multiple Award Schedule Program
contracts. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. The GSA Multiple Award Schedule contracts, you would log in through eBuy with your normal eBuy credentials, and reverse auction is one of the selections that you would have. It's part of our broader CAP and hallway strategy where you can come into one common portal. You can get the tools that you need and the different services or products that you're looking for.
And so how does that create a notice to the vendors that decide how do they come in if they want to bid on this?
It's all based on the multiple award schedules platform, so just like an eBuy RFQ. When you hit the go button to solicit for the chairs in this room, any vendor who is on that schedule in SIN is going to get a notification to say, we're auctioning chairs today, and if you'd like to participate, click here. Again, just like a buyer, they use their eBuy credentials to come in, and they're good to go.
And so does it tend to be that when there's a solicitation that does come across, sufficient numbers of vendors join in to make it a competitive procurement?
We're doing so much better on that. In the beginning, we were having a hard time getting the word out to the vendors to let them know what this is, how it worked, what it meant for them. But the steady drumbeat of communications to the marketplace, direct vendor interactions, we're seeing incredible increases in the competition rates, and it's growing rapidly every week.
And so what do people tend to buy? In other words, is this mostly for commodities, or can you buy professional services? First of all, what can you buy on it?
All the multiple award schedules are loaded today, so theoretically you could purchase anything off of them. We really hammer.
That's about 25,000 contracts, right?
It is, and BPA is associated with those contracts as well, so it's even a greater number. We really hammer home the point that it should be low price, technically acceptable products or services. I mean that price is the deciding factor. If you're going to do in some complex work that you need to have the best experts, and you're willing to pay a little bit more for that, not really the best choice for a reverse auction, but really anything that can be purchased on a low-price, technically acceptable basis.
And so how does the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative tie in with the reverse auction platform?
We tie in perfectly, quite frankly. It's a nice way for us. We're on the same data standard, so we're all trying to collect that level three prices paid information. And we take it up a notch, I would say, to an extent, because we have a lot of automation built into the backside of the program. So when people think reverse auction, the headline reads prices are going down, when in fact the data we're getting behind the scenes and the process that we built into the system are going to make the job of the contracting officer downstream so much easier. I mean, imagine a day when you're buying latex glove for TSA at all the airports, and you can just clone the same RFQ over and over. You've got your market base locked down in terms of who's going to compete on those, and you can hit go once a month. Your job's pretty much taken care of for you, and you have your past history to look at for to make sure you're getting good prices. You're going to make sure you have good competition because you know the vendors. So we really see the downstream savings as being as great as anything that we're going to get out of this.
And this is getting really arcane, but is it possible that inventory information could be fed back into that go button that you mentioned and it's completely automated?
I like your style, Tom. We're certainly continuing to evolve as we go downstream, and when you put a great tool like this in the hands of buyers, you never quite know where it's going to end up, but we certainly could envision something like that down the line. We've really focused on the end user at this point,
sure,
what their needs are, and that's the way to get the adoption rates up, so we've done a lot in that area.
We're speaking with Irv Kohler. He's Acting Regional Administrator and Federal Acquisition Service Regional Commissioner at the GSA. And you mentioned BPAs, and one of the most, one of the newest and most talked about BPAs is that, also against the schedules, for the continuous diagnostics and monitoring, the CDM part of the whole cybersecurity government. Have you seen any action yet on reverse auctions for that BPA? Probably a little soon, maybe.
Probably a little bit soon, and again, it's tough to know if that's going to be the right choice. A contracting officer is going to have to sit down and decide if all of those firms are the best in the world and they're close to equally capable and price could be the determining factor, it's possible it could go that way. But once you get into that high level of service, it's always difficult to do it on a low-price, technically acceptable basis.
Sure. Now, some of the early BPAs, such as CDM or some of the others that GSA has crafted for different areas of commodities, the buys under those BPAs have been significantly lower than standard schedule prices. If you overlay the reverse auction on a BPA on the schedules, can the discounts, is there any limit to how much discount people can get?
Sure, there's going to be a limit. The firms have to make money to stay in business. What we're seeing is sort of a compatible strategy. In some markets, there will be a smaller market where you may have fewer vendors competing for that level of work. Reverse auction, because of the process efficiencies, allows a little bit larger marketplace to take place, say the IT arena, so you could have a significant group and still do it efficiently because of the tool. So I think the tool will sit side by side, and we're going through a bit of a sorting out period to figure out what is the right approach and get it dialed in so we'll have it just right.
And what are the metrics that GSA is looking at to know and to judge whether this whole effort is successful? For example, numbers of schedule contractors that participate, or discounts, or number of agencies? What are you looking at?
I call it the big three, really the amount of money going through it, right? And if it's not being used, how good can it be? The second one is the competition rates, and we want to see at least two bids on, you know, 90% would be an ideal number. We're not quite there yet, but we are getting there. And then, of course, small business participation is the other one. Again, the savings numbers pop around a little bit, and part of the problem is with the original estimates coming in, but we will improve that over time. And I actually expect the savings rates to go down over time. Why? If I have perfect market information on how much that chair should cost after 100 auctions of it, my estimate should be pretty much what the market's going to give me unless I get some anomalous results. So, again, that's where I think the big power is coming
from.
So
you could call it the Adam Smith platform.
Yes, sir.
It's perfect market information. And so you say it's about $50 million now.
Mm-hmm.
And do you expect that using this, as this gets wider, more widely used, that the total sales on the GSA schedules could increase? Because they've been kind of flat, I guess, recent years.
We absolutely expect that. And this is one of the things we've done. We've really stayed focused in the beginning on the schedules platform. That is the dominant amount of contracts we have in it today. And the idea is pretty simple. We want to drive the value of the schedules program to an extent where other people will say, yep, this is it. We have to go here because this is the best source. And this reverse auction tool being plugged into that is one more step in that direction. And again, as we get downstream where I've got canned RFQs, I've got perfect market research, mm-hmm. people can clone their work. I've got everybody from the policymaker to the 1102 that's happy with this program. So we love it.
And while we have you, what is the status of GSA contracts these days? Are they on a perpetual basis pretty much for most contractors?
Perpetual schedules program would be viewed more that way. Some of our other contracts would be more in the 10-year time frame, I'd say.
All right. Irvel Kohler is a Federal Acquisition Service Regional 4 Commissioner. Where is that, by the way?
Atlanta.
All right. Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.